It's good to be here this morning. I want us to go back to the book of Joshua today, if you will. We're beginning a new series on what to do at the turning point. What to do at the turning point, or another subtitle would be, what do we do now? Now is a very powerful word, and we talked about that. Now. What's God doing now? Not what God used to do, but what is He doing now? But we cannot forget about what God used to do in our history. You know, we celebrated Memorial Day, and we're coming up now on July 4th, our Independence Day. So when you begin to study the Word of God, the basis of the Word of God is built on military fashion. And the Word teaches us in the New Testament that we are warriors for God, that we put on the armor of God. And as I told you before, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, wrote in a lot of military terms so that people would better understand, because the era of the time is that people understood war. War is that necessary element that we have in our society to keep us free, to keep our boundaries, to establish ourselves. We in America are strong because of a strong military force, and I thank God for every one of them. But we also know the ultimate reason why we're strong is because we're a nation that serves God. Amen? And I really believe with all my heart that the reason we are here today free is because people like you who still pray. Amen. Prayer moves back that dark cloud of oppression that tries to come in. And so the history of Israel is so beautiful because it basically relates to where we are today. History, even though it may seem old, is really relevant. Does that make sense? It's really relevant because we learn from yesterday how to deal with today. So anyone that tells you we don't need the Old Testament, you just go ahead and mark that off, because we need the Old Testament because it leads to the New Testament. Amen? Well, I live in the New Testament. I don't really need the Old. I beg your pardon. I need history to help me understand who I am and where I need to go as far as American. Amen? The men who gave their lives to declare our freedom on July 4th. It's more than a day off at work, for those of you that have a day off from work. It is more than just a holiday. It's a symbol. And so I begin to study that, and we know that now in Joshua chapter 1, that first word there, now, there's a dispensation of time. There's a transformation going on. Our lives should be continually transforming and moving in a new direction that God allows, but we learn our principles from our past. Many of us have learned who we are, what we are, because our parents told us certain principles in life that we still use today. Amen? So there's value, tremendous value in history. That's why God put it in there. That's why we have an Old Testament, so that we would value how God maneuvers and matriculates society today. As I begin to study about Joshua, it says verse 1, now after the death of Moses, and I stop right there. I love God, because I want to tell you something, it's always new with God. How many times have I read this verse and read this chapter, and God will just carry you deeper than you've ever been. If you think you pretty much know all that God's got, just hang on, He'll carry you a little bit deeper. Amen. And so I begin to think about the awesome job that Moses did. Now, y'all got to bear with me this morning. There's a precious anointing here. God raised up Joshua. Now, there's a reason for that. Joshua is from the tribe of Ephraim in Numbers 13 and 8. He was commissioned by Moses. You read that in Deuteronomy 31. And I tell you, I'm lost in this series because I love reading about history. So I just find myself reading all about history, because you know something? If you'll do that, God will begin to teach you something even more. So God's been teaching me some stuff. He was the captain of Israel's army. If you'll read that in Exodus 17, 8 through 16, he was a captain. He was the one that led in the battle of the... He was just awesome military strategist, but he learned that from Moses. He was also one of the ones who, you remember when the spies were sent out to spy the land to see if you know what God was saying, he was one of those. And I had not even intended to go this direction in my series, in my message, but God said, I want you to go back and start reading. So I want you to hold your bookmark in Joshua, but I want you to go to the book of Numbers. And I brought another version with me this morning. It's the Amplified version. Numbers chapter 32. Now, as you begin to study the Pentateuch, which is the first four books of the Bible, you begin to learn a pattern that God is laying down. You begin to learn. And some people don't like the Old Testament because you got to read, you got to study, you got to think. Amen. Don't give me nothing I got to think about. Amen. Just let me do it. But sometimes you got to think. Amen. How many times have we messed up because we didn't think? Hello? Is this thing on? Amen. Amen. We didn't think. And so God says, slow down and begin it. But as you read in the Old Testament, there's a lot of war. There's a lot of battles. Now I'm laying some foundation here, and you got to be careful to hear. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you ear to hear, because in life there are battles. But in every battle, God has a strategic plan on how you are to win that battle. Amen. It is not the will of God that you battle and not win. We are winners. Turn to the woman beside of you and say, we're winners. Amen. We're winners. God doesn't say, well, boy, here's the plan. Man, I just hope it works. No, God says, here's the plan. So the first thing that God began to show me is that I got a plan. God orchestrated this thing all through history. It didn't just happen that Moses died and God had to say, oh man, who in the world am I going to get? Let's see, Joshua's a pretty good guy. Let me get him. It wasn't that way at all. God strategically planned this thing out. Your life, as simple as you may think it is, or as you may feel that no one cares and no one really matters if you matter or not, God has meticulously laid out every day of your life. That's awesome. The Bible says that my steps, how many steps did you take to get here today? I don't know. God knows. And he says your steps. He even knows the hair on your head. He even knows when a sparrow falls from the sky. He attends the funeral of every sparrow. What an awesome God that is. We're living in a nation now where Congress is going crazy and everybody's going crazy trying to figure it all out. And the politician's goal now is to try to say something that we want to hear, or something that's going to bring us comfort, or something that's going to help us get through. Let me just tell you this. God, in the midst of all this mess, is still in control. Amen. Social Security or no Social Security, government or no government, bank or no bank, my God shall supply every need. Do you hear me this morning? Somebody needs that word this morning, because fear comes about you many times and says, I don't know how it's going to work out this time. Let me tell you something. God knows. So I want to take time, and the Lord led me to do this morning. So we're going to take a few minutes because I wanted to read this to you. Now, there's some powerful words I'm getting ready to read to you in Numbers chapter 32. It said the verse 1, now the sons of Reuben and of Gad had very great multitude in cattle. And they saw the land of Gazer and the land of Gideon, the east side of the Jordan. And behold, the place was suitable for cattle. God's a God of now. Please get this. God's a God of now. God's moving now. God's acting now. And if you want to move with God, next word, you got to submit to his plan. Amen. When we walk in disobedience, when are we disobedient? We are disobedient when our will supersizes the will of God. God shows us that in history. You remember I told you last week when Benjamin Franklin, before Congress would begin, he would get down in the middle of the aisle and pray. When a nation prays, when a nation obeys God, we are always successful. But you take the Ten Commandments off the walls and you put policemen in the halls. Amen? Saw a bumper sticker the other day. Said, as long as there's tests, there will always be prayer in school. Amen. So prayer. But I'm just trying, God's just trying to show us. God, he illuminates the whole picture and says, look, when you follow me, it doesn't mean everything's going to be great, everything's going to be wonderful, but I'm going to bring you through it. But when you walk in disobedience. Now God had raised up Moses. He was leading an army. And look what it says here. So the sons of Gad and of Reuben came and said to Moses, Eleazar the priest and the leaders of the congregation, the country around, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, why couldn't they just have places like Mount Olive, Goldsboro, I mean stuff, why couldn't they just have all that? And then the last one is Beon. Where are you from, Beon? And the land of the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is the land for cattle, and your servants have cattle. And they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants, a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. What's going on? What's going on? God says, I want you to go here. But they've come up with a new idea. I got a better idea, God. Why don't we just do this? Amen? Now, I know this is for somebody else because I know y'all always obey God. Amen. Always. So just share this with somebody else. But God's got a plan. And you say, God, I like your plan. But here's what you need to do. Look what he said. And they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for a possession. Do not take us over Jordan. And Moses said to the sons of Gad and Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? This is powerful right here. Now, Moses was an awesome man. Moses was the man. Amen. He said, are you mean to tell me we're moving forward in war and you're going to stay here? You done found your place. I'm going to sit right here. Somebody get this morning. I'm going to sit right here. God, I like it here. I like it here. It's good here. I understand here. Here is good. I'm happy. Here, I'm, let me say it, comfortable. I like here. Here's good. Be sure it's going to be real. She's going to be real with you. Okay, amen. I like it here, but God has said, here's not where I am. I'm now. Now's not here. Here's where God used to be. Now's where God is now. For those of you that rode the short bus to school, let me go back. Amen. God is moving. God is a God. You know what I love? Man, I just love it. I wish I was on the mountaintop now and shout to the world. He's God of yesterday, but he's God now. Amen. He took care of me yesterday, but guess what? What comes to me today, he's going to take care of me now. Amen. Our world's changing. Our society's changing. Amen. It's just different now. But God is God. Now get this. There's a reason why God wanted me to read this morning. Now look at verse 7. Why? Now here's Moses. God is saying, move. God's saying, go forward. They've come up with a new idea. Let's do what we want to do. I want to tell you something real quick. Put this in your notes, put it in your mind, put it somewhere. Disobedience always costs you something. I want you to get that. Disobedience always costs something. Now, I know we're not jumping pews this morning or hanging from chandeliers, because some people say that you don't have a church till you do that. Amen. But I'm telling you this, the word is powerful, and the word's going forth this morning. And if you'll listen to what God is saying, if I listen to what God is saying, it'll help us. Amen. Because I will tell you, I will confess to you, there are times in my life I want to stay here. I don't want to move no more. I don't want to be no more. God says, okay, then, but I love you, but I'm going to move on. So what we start doing, we build monuments of where God used to be, and we call it God now. But it's not God now, it's what he used to be. Does that make sense? All right? Is he okay? Amen. Why? Look at verse 7. Why do you discourage the hearts? And the Lord stopped me right there. Now, I'm telling y'all, I hadn't intended to do all this. God says that's where there's an enemy of discouragement today, discouraging people from moving forward. Now does not look like here. Now does not look like here. Does that make sense? Here, surroundings are identified with. Why do you discourage the hearts of the Israelites from going over into the land? Get this right here. Into the land which the Lord has given them. You hear that? Does everybody get that? Amen? Why are you discouraging the hearts of the people? There is a spirit of discouragement that will always come to try to stop you from moving forward. Let me ask you a question right now. Are you where God wants you to be now? If not, why? Amen? You need to get that. God is speaking this morning. Why do you discourage the hearts of the Israelites from going over into the land which the Lord has given? See, they were not only did they not want to go forward, they didn't want nobody else to go forward. And so what they started doing was creating a division or a heaviness among the crowd, and it caused everyone to start doubting. And let me read on. Thus your fathers did. Why do you discourage the hearts of the Israelites from going over to the land which the Lord had given them? Verse 8. Thus your fathers did when I sent them to Kadesh and Barnea to see the land. You remember that? Go check out the land. Boy, there's giants over there. We can't do that. Amen. For when they went up to the valley of Eshah and saw the land, they discouraged the hearts of Israelites from going into the land of the Lord had given them. Stay with me. Verse 10. And the Lord's anger was kindled on that day, and he swore, saying, get this part. Surely none of the men who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land. Isn't that sad? God says, I have a blessing. I have a land that flows with milk and honey. I've got a position for you. But because you discouraged hearts and you discouraged them to where they didn't believe anymore, they're going to be left out. Man. Surely, let me read it again, verse 11. You got to get this. Surely none of the men which came up out of Egypt, they came out of bondage to be free. How many of you really want to be free? How many of you really want to flow with God? There's a price to pay for that. How many of you know the anointing is not cheap? How many of you know when Jesus prayed in that garden, said, God, if there's any other way, please let this pass from me. But if it's not, Lord, I'll go. And he made an ultimate sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you something. To follow God and to be successful and to be powerful, there is a price to pay. Disobedience says, we like here. Can't we just make it God here? Can't we just take stuff that God touched years ago and make it God now? And you know what? When most people talk about God, they talk about what used to happen or something in their life, sometime in their life when something happened and it was God, and that's how they refer to God. Most people, if you say, tell me about God, tell me what you know about God. Well, I go to church. Amen? Am I preaching truth this morning? Well, I go to church. I mean, no. Tell me about your relationship with God. Well, I join church. Tell me about your relationship with God. I shook the preacher's hand. That's not relationship with God. That is relationship with now, that relationship with then. Amen? I thank God when I got saved. I thank God he saved me. But guess what? I still saved today, and I still love him now. I thank God for what he did for me yesterday, but how many of you know I still need him today? Can I get amen on that? He was God then, and he's God now. And just like he blessed then, you got to get this morning. Amen. This is end of grade testing, and you got to get it. Amen. You got to get it or you're not going to pass. Verse 10 was, it just struck my, I'm telling you, I took 2 days and read that one verse. 2 days. God would not let me get away from that verse for 2 days. And the Lord says, and he said, the Lord's anger was kindled on that day. And he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt. You know what's so sad? You know what's so sad to me? And get this. Gad and Reuben, they thought they had it all together. They thought they in other words, there were people in that day that thought they had it all together. But listen, you got to get this part. Generations. There's a generation here that lost out because of people's unbelief. We as leaders, and I want to tell you, I know why God made 2 days for me to read that verse for 2 days. You want to know why? Because when you are dealing with the move of God and you mess up and you disobey, you don't only affect yourself, you affect your whole family. Amen? Let's say I don't want to give. Let's say I'm not going to give no tithes. That preacher's got enough. I ain't giving him nothing. Amen. I ain't going to give nobody nothing. Amen? Nothing. Hear me? Hear me. Amen? Nothing. Who am I going to hurt? Who am I going to hurt? God said, oh, well, Ronnie's not going to give, so I got to shut down heaven. Amen? I just can't pay the bills. Amen. I'm going to hold back my little $1.50. Amen. You ain't going to get that, God. Oh. Gabriel, hold up. Hold up. We got to hold up. We can't get done what we got to get done. You think God says that? What happens is, okay, son, your disobedience is going to hurt your sons, your daughter-in-laws, your family. They're not going to get what they could get from me because you stopped them. Whew. I know Father's Day's coming up, but that's a good Father's Day sermon right there. Amen. I'm trying to finish. Verse 11, surely none of the men who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward. How many of y'all believe the word of God is true? Do you believe what it says? Do you believe he meant what he said? I believe the man meant what he said, don't you? 20 years old and upward. So all my family that was 20 years old and upward, they were doomed because of my unbelief. And look, let me try to finish. Shall see the land which I swore to Abraham. When he says swear there, it's not talking about cussing or anything. It's talking about a covenant. God is saying, I coveted. And how many of you know when God tells you something, you can bank on it. Amen? He said, you can bank on this. To Isaac, and look what he said. From 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Except Caleb and Joshua, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Look at verse 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. Whew. And this is the part that got me. He made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Why 40 years? Because that was a generation. And he said here, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Is that strong this morning? But how many of you know it's the Word of God? How many of you know I'm preaching to a strong church? How many of you know I'm preaching, I mean, we got Sunday school teachers that could be in pulpits today preaching better than any a lot of preachers I've heard. Amen? Amen? Give your Sunday school teacher amen right there. Amen? Because you get the word when you come here. When you come to Northfield, you get the word. So I don't have to give you milk and cookies and wait for Santa. Amen? I'm giving you something that you're gonna have, because let me tell you, he said, God let, it wasn't God. Well, why did God do that? God didn't do that. The disobedience. I'm not going to move with God. I'm going to stay right here. And they had to go through a whole generation. Isn't that sad? That people had to lose what God had for them. Lord, bless us today with this word, that we would learn from this word. And so God does exactly what he says. And then Moses' time comes to an end. You know what was so beautiful? God began to show me some stuff about Moses. It was not like that just Moses, all of a sudden, just God got mad at him. You know, we've heard preachers preach, he struck that rock. Amen. How many of you know that sometimes we mess up, but it's not in our heart. It's just the moment, or just our flesh, or just our mental state. Amen. And how many of you know that God doesn't sit there with a ball that, oh man, you did it, you know. But God knows your heart, and God loves your heart. He don't care a whole lot about your flesh, what goes on there. He loves your heart, because he knows if that heart's right, the rest of it's going to be right. Amen? And so the Lord wanted you to get this history. This was a nugget of history that God wanted us to hear so that you'll better understand the now. 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 Let me go back real quick to Joshua chapter 1. So this generation dies out, and a new generation is coming up, and we start on a new stage of life, and the first part of this stage is now. Moses is dead. God's going to raise up a new man, Joshua. But he really wasn't new, because he'd been there with Moses the whole time. And we're going to talk about some things that Joshua does, and things that the way Joshua handles things that was different than the way Moses did it. When you decide to follow God, he will bring change into your life. And I'm talking about me now. I have never been through change in my life that I liked it. I'm being honest. Amen. I'm talking about, I don't like it. I am stuck in the mud, Miss Shirley. I am stuck in the mud. Amen. And when God says change, I got to admit, there's times I said, God, I kind of like it here. God says, fine, you stay here, but I'm going to the now. And I don't know about you. I've drugged my feet before. I've not obeyed like I should before. And I missed out. And I've got a heart's desire today. You know, I want to see this church. I really don't have no vision in my mind how I want it to be, how this one. You know what I want it to be? I want it to be just what God wants it to be. And when God builds this place like He wants it to be, we'll all get in line. We may not like it to start with, but guess what? It all gets in line. And God blesses us. The main thing I want is I want to preach a word to you that will bring such an anointing to you that you can care about your family, that your little children can sit here. And Addie, she sits here, she answers a lot of my questions. You know, I pray, God, that anointing just go over on her. And when she gets older, she remembers some big old ugly preacher that they had. I can't remember his name, but he preached me the word. Amen. Amen. On that, we're going to close. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? I had to give you that little bit of history. God had to give us that little bit of history so that you'll better understand now where we're going. I'd like you to take the hand of the one beside of you, please, if you will, as we come in a point of contact. The Bible says we're two come in agreement. And our prayer this morning is going to be, Lord, help us be in the now. Help us be a Northview now. God, we thank you for the past. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. We thank you, Lord, for the great men of God that have stood in this pulpit and have preached the word uncompromisingly. I thank you, Lord, for every act and every deed that's been accomplished to build this place where it is today. God, it's because of your greatness and because of people's obedience that we have a place of worship. As we put on the grounds this morning, Lord, many, many hours of work and labor have been put into place so that we could come in and sit down and enjoy your blessings. Lord, I pray for revelation, that we would begin to walk in the now. God, I'm guilty sometime of hanging on to the past. And I know, God, that you were God of the past. Help me deal with my fears and to know that, God, how you took care of me then, you're going to take care of me now. I pray, God, that everyone that is in this place today that has a need, and many hands were raised earlier today, and many requests were given. And God, we just want you to know, dear God, that if it weren't for you, we would have nothing or be nothing. God, I want to thank you for this week's supply and needs. I want to thank you, Lord, for this week taking care of us. Now, God, we seek you all wholeheartedly. What do we do now, Lord? What do we do at the turning point? What do we do now? Show us in your word and teach us in your word in the coming weeks that we may be more of what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you.